From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we bring another in a series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by the great 19th century English preacher C.H. Spurgeon.
Our devotional for today is entitled, The Leadership of Our Guide. The text is John chapter 16 and verse 13. Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. Truth is like a vast cavern into which we desire to enter, but we are not able to traverse it alone. At the entrance it is clear and bright, but if we would go further and explore its innermost recesses, we must have a guide, or we shall lose ourselves. The Holy Spirit, who knows all truth perfectly, is the appointed guide of all true believers, and He conducts them, as they are able to bear it, from one inner chamber to another, so that they behold the deep things of God, and His secret is made plain to them. What a promise is this for the humbly inquiring mind! We desire to know the truth and to enter into it. We are conscious of our own aptness to err, and we feel the urgent need of a guide. We rejoice that the Holy Spirit is come and abides among us. He condescends to act as a guide to us, and we gladly accept His leadership. All truth we would gladly learn, that we may not be one-sided and out of balance. We would not be willingly ignorant of any part of revelation, lest thereby we should miss blessing or incur sin. The Spirit of God has come that He may guide us into all truth. Let us with obedient hearts hearken to His words and follow His lead.
Yeah.
Among the great classics of Christian literature, A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God is remarkable for its impact on the lives of countless believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The product of a lifelong passion for knowing God in an intimate, soul-refreshing relationship, this small volume exposes the roadblocks that keep us from fully knowing God, reveals our responsibility of the pursuit, and ultimately leads us into the very presence of God Himself. Some of the chapter titles include Following Hard After God, Restoring the Creator-Creature Relation, and The Sacrament of Living. As you read and study Tozer's penetrating insights, you will learn the meaning of Paul's words in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know Him. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help, free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God, and we'll be glad to provide it. Today, Dr. Cairns will conclude a message called The Sign and Seal of Justification, part of this series of studies in the book of Romans. In chapter 4, verses 9 through 16, Paul shows from the Old Testament scriptures that Abraham was justified by faith before he was circumcised. In other words, circumcision was a seal of what had already taken place. The Jews of Paul's day depended on their relation to Abraham as their entrance into heaven. But Paul showed that Abraham was declared righteous while he was still a Gentile.
So Abraham's circumcision was simply a seal or an endorsement of something that had already taken place, his faith in what Christ would accomplish on the cross. God's promise to Abraham was a promise of free grace. It could not be fulfilled by efforts to keep the law. The law brings men under condemnation, but grace brings them into salvation. Now Dr. Cairns concludes this message, The Sign and Seal of Justification.
Kings and priests and prophets were called the fathers of their people. Abraham is the father of the faithful, because in the Scripture he's the prototype of all believers. In fact, he is par excellence the believer in Scripture. He is the great man of faith. Who is it? He's the one with whom God reenacted the covenant of grace to embrace all believers, both Jews and Gentiles. And we're his children. You see what that means? We have this community. We stand with Abraham under grace. We stand with Abraham, blessed with all the spiritual blessings that the Lord promised to him, especially the blessing of the imputed righteousness of Christ. That's the blessing of Abraham. We stand with him in the family of God. Now, says Paul, that doesn't come to you by circumcision. That doesn't come to you by baptism. That doesn't come to you by any rite or ritual or anything of the Mosaic economy, even if it's dressed up in Christian garb. That comes to you by faith in Jesus Christ. But it does come. And this is his whole point. It does come. This is not a hit and miss exercise. Justification is not only offered to believers. It is not only extended to believers. Notice again the wording that I have kept quoting from Romans chapter 3. It is not only unto, but it is upon all them that believe. In other words, it doesn't only extend as an offer or a promise. It is actually conferred on every believer. That's the message. Jew or Gentile, every believer is as certainly justified as Abraham was, stands in the very same standing of grace, accepted by God, invested with all the blessings of the covenant of grace. And that leads to Paul's final great deduction. And it's this, that God's promise to Abraham was a promise of free grace, and therefore it could not be fulfilled through the law, but through faith alone. See, the argument that Paul gives here in verses 13 through 16 is that by its very nature, God's covenant with Abraham could not be fulfilled through the law or through the legal dispensation. The legal dispensation, by its very nature, contrary to what the Jews thought, was temporary. Remember I said to them it would last forever? No, Paul says it's temporary. By the nature of the covenant and by the nature of the Mosaic economy, we reach this conclusion: if one is permanent, the other is impermanent. Now, everybody accepted what's permanent is the promise to Abraham. The promise of the gospel. Paul actually calls it the gospel when he's writing to the Galatians. He said that the Scripture preached the gospel before unto Abraham. So it is actually the gospel. And if that gospel promise of grace is permanent, then it cannot come through the law. And the law, therefore, the legal dispensation, circumcision, and all that goes with it, it was only temporary. Now in verse 14, you'll see that Paul therefore has to reiterate the points that he made in verses 4 and 5, and I'm not going to preach them again. What he's saying, look, if it's of grace, it can't be by works. If it's of grace, you can't earn it, you can't pay for it, you can't merit it. If it's of grace, it's a free gift. And a free gift is not received by working for it, it's received by faith. So he reiterates the argument of verses 4 and 5. But then he goes further. And he's saying, if you hold to law, you destroy faith and the whole idea of a promise. What is that promise? The big subject that I'm only going to scrape over tonight. But the promise was this. You know the emphasis, you've marked the emphasis on the seed, Abraham's seed. Well, there's a twofold reference there. There's the reference to the seed, the offspring. And there's a reference to the seed with a capital S, to Christ. Galatians tells us specifically that seed was Christ. Now listen carefully. Here's the promise. In his seed, his offspring, Abraham would possess every land. We haven't seen that come to pass yet, but we will. Not only so, but in his seed, which is Christ, the blessings of justifying grace will reach to every tribe and nation. And this is where we reach the great climax of the plan of salvation for the nations of the world. When you read in Revelation chapter 7 of this great company which no man can number. And where are they from? Of every tribe, every tongue, every kindred, every nation under heaven. But, says Paul, these children of Abraham can enter into these blessings of Abraham only and precisely as he entered, namely by faith, without works, apart from law or any merit of their own. So this is the reiteration of the argument from verses 4 and 5. And now he adds another line. Verse 15 of Romans 4. The law worketh wrath. Why can the promise not be fulfilled through the law? He says, because the law works wrath. In other words, it brings man naturally under condemnation. How do you know you're a sinner? Because God has a law. And that law shows you're a transgressor. If there were no law, there'd be no such thing as sin. If there were no law, you couldn't have any standard to transgress. If there are no standards, then anything goes. But God has a standard. He has a law. And that law not only marks what is wrong, it condemns it. It not only condemns it, but it visits punishment upon it. The law worketh wrath. Wherefore, verse 16, it. Now what does it mean? I'm not trying to be a Bill Clinton and parse two or three-letter words. But what does it mean? What does it refer to? It's either the inheritance promised or the righteousness of faith that God imputes. But it, the righteousness or the inheritance, is of, or literally, it is out of faith. Only if it's of faith can it be by grace. Only if it's of faith, and watch this carefully, can the promise be sure to all. Now here we come to something. Legalism can never produce assurance. You ever notice that? In every garb of legalism, it's the enemy of assurance. People who are trying to work their way to heaven can never be sure they've worked enough. People who are trying to weep their way to heaven can never be sure they've wept enough. Legalism can never render you certain. You may hope, but there's always that dread that my hope is misplaced. There's no assurance in legalism. The only thing can give assurance is grace received through faith. So tonight, I want you to take seriously what Paul is saying. And shun every attempt to return us to a dogma of justification by works. justification by law or indeed justification by sacrament. And I'm not talking now about your preferred view of pedo or credo baptism. In either case, do not suspend justification on a sacrament. I finish with Paul's argument on the same subject in Galatians chapter 5. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And he's talking about the legal yoke. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he's a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. That's where Paul's argument brings him. You can be a Jew and go to hell. You can be a Pedo-Baptist and be damned. You can be baptized, and no matter what the minister said over you about seals and signs, you can still go to hell. You can be a Baptist. You can be baptized by immersion or by trine immersion and perish in hell. You can work your fingers to the bone in an effort to merit God's salvation and perish eternally. The only thing that matters is that you're a believer by justifying faith in Jesus Christ. That's the only thing. I said tonight I would have controversial ground to cover, and I say that again with this addition. There are things upon which people may differ and yet be saved. That's one reason why this church gives people their conscience on this subject of baptism. But on this matter of the necessity and absolute centrality of justification by faith alone in Jesus Christ alone, and receiving by faith the imputation of the righteousness of Christ to fit us for heaven, on that there is no room for debate or dissension. I trust tonight that you will ensure that you are among the children of Abraham, justified by faith alone in Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the promise, for the covenant of grace. We thank thee, Lord, that the very substance of the covenant is Christ and his righteous obedience for his people, even unto death. We thank thee, our God, that he is the all-sufficient Savior, and his righteousness is an all-sufficient righteousness. Lord, we ask in Jesus' precious name tonight that thou wilt indeed, as was prayed at the very beginning, give us sight to see the light. Grant that none of the folks here tonight will leave this meeting blinded to the beauty of Christ, hardened against the gospel, or depending on anything but the merits of Christ for their acceptance with God. Bless thy word, O Lord, we pray. Keep thy hand upon us all tonight. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. We pray that thy grace and mercy and peace will be the abiding portion of all thy blood-bought people, both tonight and evermore. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, founded by Dr. Alan Cairns. Let the Bible Speak is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, produced in Northern Ireland. The Free Presbyterian Church stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers on the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the church. For further information about the Free Presbyterian Church, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. Or you may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America at www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelsch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.